me and my very best Jordan Lips impersonation voice. What's up, guys? Welcome to my podcast, your podcast,
everybody's podcast.
It's our favorite double podcast. I can't do it. You have to do it. You just do it way better.
No, that was good. What's up, guys? That was good enough. That's fine. You guys are here. We're on your podcast, my podcast, and just our, like, we had met because we were like, hey, let's talk about our like group mentorship thing that we can kind of tease right now if we want. But then we were both like, well, we're already here on Zoom. Like, might as well just like record a quick podcast, which I think is like great use of our time.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much. I mean, really, like, we just love recording with you all the time. It's always a good conversation. People freaking love it and it's a good time. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about our mentorship. For those of you who are curious about it, we are looking at May-ish, right, guys? Mm-hmm. Are we determining the date? Save the date?
Yeah, we're gonna do a full podcast on this, like as like a reference piece of content. So like this, just if you're listening, like this isn't our like main shot at giving you a big description. But yeah, we're looking at, for those of you guys who don't know, I'm the one holding this up. I know people are excited about doing this. I'm traveling internationally four times in the next like 3 months. I'm going on my honeymoon. We're going to Africa for 2.5 weeks and I'm blowing it here. And I would have liked to have started this in like February, but you guys are being nice enough. We're putting it off for me and I'm pumped to get to like sink my teeth into this when we get back. So we're looking at like, I get home early May and we're going to probably kick things off June 1st. I think that's like what we just literally decided 10 seconds ago. And so just keep an eye out for like marketing stuff, information. We have a website landing page coming. And so we'll keep you guys posted on that, but it's something we're super excited about. I think that I will say this in a very kind way. Maybe I shouldn't say this. I'm going to say it anyway, because it's like,
do it.
Not a big, there's like a couple there. I have a friend. We have a friend, a competitor, perhaps someone else in the space. And these two people are also doing a coaching mentorship that have just launched. And I am just happy in the world out there that there's like, that's not what we're doing. And I think that there's like, not in a negative way, but there's like, anyway, what am I getting at here? Just that I'm excited about the way we're doing this, because I think a lot of what we like to do is get a lot of FaceTime with people and a lot of more conversational, more like getting together on Zoom and working through issues and a lot of FaceTime with the three of us instead of it being, it's not like a course where you like sign up and like there, here are these modules that you read and then that's it. Yeah. It's like, we're talking about like an immersive coaching. We're talking about a relationship, frankly, a lot of education, but like, man, a lot of FaceTime with the three of us. That's like something we find to be incredibly important. And I just know that there's a lot of mentorship-ish sort of stuff out there that is, hey, take this module that I make once and then you sign up, you get it. And then somebody else signs up and they get the same exact thing. And while our mentorship will have pieces of content that everybody gets, that's definitely a fact. I mean, I think that that's a value add. Most of what we are interested in doing is spending time with you guys and working through case studies and like, just, I don't know, just having a bit more of a face-to-face relationship with us versus like this being some written course with like videos that we made one time that you get and never hear from us ever again.
Yeah. And then like a little cameo experience. Right. And for the record, we are fully happy to wait for you. So
yeah, just that little detail about you.
100%. You know, I mean, you're out living your best life with very influencer energy, being in the world, being a world traveler. So heaven forbid we not let you have that moment.
Thank you. Cool. Also, a smidge of guilt, but yeah, cool. Anyway,
no, never.
All right. So we're going to dive in with a couple questions, some exercise stuff, some thoughts around real lasting change. We're excited to chat about these questions. You guys actually dropped into our question box 2 weeks ago, and we're like, these are fully deserving of a conversation. So we're just going to do a couple, what'd you call them? Light softball.
Underhand. They're just like underhand, like little underhand, like warm-ups, just like T-ball. And before we get started, do you screenshot these? You said they're from 2 weeks ago. You like screenshot them. You keep them like for a later date sort of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to kind of, sometimes the questions that people ask are so incredible, but like just to write them out just doesn't do them justice. And, you know, per the usual,
you keep them for a podcast, or you keep them for like, you keep them like kind of for this situation?
Kind of.
I didn't know you can archive. So you can like go back into your story archives. Oh. And I didn't know this. I can do a Q&A from like, I can like pick up on old Q&As and stuff. And so
you can actually reuse all your Q&As. Like you could just like repost all of them if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Or make stories out of them, make reels out of them.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah.
As long as Instagram lets you and doesn't change their mind.
Which is not always. Yeah.
Didn't say they would make it easy, just said it's theoretically possible.
All All right. So here's a couple little bit of starter questions from an exercise content. So one of the questions is, I've never lifted weights before and want to start. What are the very first things to do? So of course, we definitely want to plug Jordan Lips and his program, because I think that if you've never lifted weights before and you want to start, the best place to do it is with some form of coaching and some help. While you could walk into an LA Fitness or a Globo Gym or your garage and just pick stuff up, we know that when we lift with intention is when the magic happens. And so definitely would love for Jordan to talk a little bit about your program. I think that, you know, both of us have actually worked with Jordan, and I have to say one of the very, very best things about working with Jordan is that you can send him form videos. Mm-hmm. And now that is actually a topic we should probably talk about too, because so many people don't want to do form videos.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay. So let's stick with this question and let's do that next.
Okay. Yeah. So Jordan, talk a little bit about like brand new newbies.
The thing I love about this chat is that, we're typically like, if you're talking to a population of people that are like looking to make better gains, and they're like, I want to get better gains, I want to make more muscle growth and stuff like that, what they should do is just, you know, whether it's like get closer to failure and like, you know, pick better exercises or whatever it is, lift heavier or whatever. That's just like not relevant in this context. Like beginners, rank beginners, like day one beginners, just like don't have to worry about that. Like you should really just be worried about getting your technique down and finding a safe, comfortable place to do this. I don't mean just geographically. I mean like a safe comfort zone, whether that's with a coach in person or with a coach one-on-one or in a group program with other people that are going through this. Like just find a safe space that makes it fun and enjoyable. You do not need to do it a whole lot to make progress, but you're not even worried about like, I know people are like, oh, I want to see, you know, I'm doing this for the benefits, but you really don't need to do a lot to make good gains or either even that's far as like aesthetically speaking, but like to get the health benefits, the fruit is very low hanging there. And so my advice is really focus on finding a circumstance in which you feel safe and comfortable and confident and, you know, worry mostly about technique and, you know, the time and place for you to focus on, oh, I really need to do, you know, this sort of a rep range, or I got to do this sort of training and I got to work this hard. Like that stuff will come. Like just focus on like making this a habit and going, you know, potentially like 100 times a year, you know, like have a goal of like at least twice a week and to go. And so I think honestly, I'm big on just like finding a safe place, a place that you feel confident, people around you, whether that's a type of gym or a coach or again, a personal trainer or in a group where you feel like I can work on my technique here and I can build a habit. And so I'm way more concerned with you building a habit right now than you worrying about like doing things optimally. We have all the time in the world to like tweak things and get better gains, so to speak. But the fact is you grow from very little right now. You get benefit from very little right now. And so let's flex that and not worry about the amount we're doing and work on building a habit, making it enjoyable and actually starting to like very highly prioritize technique. And as my program, I will say that like, you do not need, this is not some like bodybuilder, like you have to be a bodybuilder or like you have to be super advanced. I would say that if you are new to training, that this is sort of like, I find that if you're new to training and you join my group, you'll find two things. One, that there's a little bit more of a learning curve than if you were to, let's say, get a personal trainer who knows it's your first day and is like totally going to meet you where you're at and like totally understands it's your first day. There will be a steeper learning curve joining my group. But what you will benefit from is if you stay in the group and you give yourself a break on in terms of like learning new things and you ask questions and you send me form videos, I answer every single message, every single form video, I'll answer every single question, come to the Zoom calls. Like if you immerse yourself in the group and you say, okay, I know I'm new to this, it's going to be new, I'm going to have questions. If you stick with it, it will save you years of kind of spinning your wheels, which is what a lot of people do. So I do think there's a little bit more of a learning curve if you've never, ever even picked up a weight and you want to join my group. But I do think that if you were to stick with it, ask questions, accept that you don't know everything up front, that you would save a ton of time. You know, 6 months from now, you'd look back and be like, wow, like I'm where people are like 10 years into their training career in terms of like understanding what and why I'm doing what I'm doing. So that's my little spiel on that. I do feel like if it's your first day in the gym, it'll be a little bit of a learning curve, but if you're willing to stick it out, then you will definitely save some time, a ton of time.
Love that. And I think like, you know, the steeper the learning curve, maybe the more space, like you literal, like time devoted on a daily or weekly basis. And then also just like the amount of things you have to do in your life. Like you've got to cut out some mental and like actual time space in your life to accommodate the goal, it, you know, depending on I love a gentle start, but if you're the kind of person who likes to go all in, then you got to just also make sure that you're making space for that in your life. Yeah, that's cool.
So let's bring up form videos, Ashley. I mean, yes. You know how we love ourselves a tangent, but Heidi had actually posted a video that she was actually doing hip thrusts. And the way that the image was shot, the
bottom
of the plate looked like her bottom, right? Because the shadow.
Oh, I saw this. I remember.
It looked like she had like some epic glutes, like in like, you know, one session. And so she asked in Instagram, do you film your form? Say that three times fast. And if you don't, why do you not? And it was amazing how many people didn't film themselves. And the reasons were actually, I mean, I'm sure you could guess a few, but we were amazed at how many people really, really were resistant and hesitant to film themselves, even though they actually lift, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would love to like read some of these and then get your thoughts, Jordan, as somebody who actually is a male and looks at form videos of various shaped and sized and aged women pretty often and pretty regularly, and your response to them. Because I think what's interesting is like, you know, form videos, I think a lot of people think like, oh, well, I don't have an Instagram page, so there's no point for me to film myself lifting at all. Right. Or I don't like how I look. So, I mean, I think they think that everybody who films themselves likes how they look. It's like, that's actually not really the thing. It's actually more about like, where can I correct to like improve my form? Am I doing the movement right? Am I, you know, even checking your tempo sometimes, depending or squat depth, or am I pulling the bar in close enough? Like, am I bent over rows? Like, those are things that like you can use, because believe it or not, there's not a whole lot of awareness in your own like mind of where you are positioning sometimes. And it's good to create like that kind of habit, like you were saying, Jordan, but you know, some of these are like, I do not want to see that. I will worry what other people think. I don't know how. I feel silly and awkward. Like, people will think I'm trying to get attention. Short on time. I'm trying to get in and out. I find it intimidating, worried about bothering other people in the gym, time. I'm extremely critical of my appearance and will pick myself apart to shreds. No one needs to see me struggle. I hate and loathe what I see. I feel weird about it. Like, people will judge me or think that I'm trying to promote myself. I'm too self-conscious. I feel embarrassed. I'm deeply terrified. I'm self-conscious.
Feel like a fool.
So what are your thoughts? I mean, you see tons of form videos all the time.
Yeah, I think you could put those into one of three buckets, which is probably like, some combination of, I don't like the way I look. I don't like what I see. That was like definitely a common thread for sure. I don't know how is also one of like, I don't know what to do here. And then maybe I feel like weird if I'm taking up people's space in the gym, or I feel like not just like I don't like the way I look, but I don't like the way this looks in terms of what people are going to think of. I'm taking a form video of myself. So those kind of need to be addressed individually. I think starting with that last one of like, I don't want to be that person. That's kind of like the thing. To be honest, maybe it's just totally because I live in this bubble. But to me, like, if I see somebody filming myself in the gym, I immediately think, I do not jump to, this is some narcissist who's like, I'm going to like post this like perfect, picture for my Instagram reels or something. I immediately think, here's a person who like genuinely cares about doing this correctly. And I think I do this every single day, all day. So of course I'm going to think that, but I actually think one, whatever everybody else thinks, I think there's some element of that, some element of like, who cares what other people think. This is such an important piece of not injuring yourself long-term. Like, when I say this, I mean, making sure your technique is good, not injuring yourself and getting more results. And so it's some combination of those two things is important to you. And what I will say is that one, everyone else in the gym, I think that that's like easier said than done sometimes. But I think that if you can internalize that, it's a big net benefit. Two, I think at least more people than you think wouldn't think that. Actually, they would think like, this is a person who like genuinely cares about what they're doing. And as far as like, I don't like the way I look, or like, I think that there's part of that where like, I think in my group that there are people who won't send a form video because I look at it or because other people can see it. And I'll just start by saying that, like, I think we can tackle that. I think that's worth tackling, of like, that there's something to dive into there. But you don't need to show somebody your form video for it to be beneficial. Like, people who don't know all the intricacies of a certain technique, most people can catch on to like, it doesn't look right. You know, like something about this doesn't look right. Or my RDL looks like my back is rounding. I'm not really, maybe I don't have the intricacy and intellectual knowledge of exactly the biomechanics, but like, this doesn't look right. And actually I think more people would report that just the act of taking the form video and watching it back, not even getting it like critically examined or anything, that is massively beneficial. I'll shut up in a second. Let me just like monologue on this, and then I want to hear what you guys think, because I am not a woman. But yes, this is like not just women, by the way. Like, this is everybody who feels like, I don't like the way I look, and I don't want to take up too much space and feel weird like I'm some narcissist in the gym that people think I'm like self-obsessed. And the I don't know how thing, from an I don't know how thing, you'd be surprised how like, as much as I want to have like the perfect angle on stuff, and I would want to see your whole body moving in a form video, and I would want to make sure that it's like zoomed out enough. You know, you could tell a lot from like the not a perfect form video. I get, you know, there's like hundreds and hundreds of form videos that come in per day. Like, not all of them are the most optimal angle. Not all of them are zoomed out enough, and you can still tell a ton. And so just putting your phone like up against a water bottle, like relatively close to you. If you have an iPhone, there's a zoom out feature. I'm sure other phones have this too, but the zoom out feature is like epic. You can be like right next to you, and it's such a wide angle that you can get your whole body in there. And so the how part of it, like, I wouldn't worry too much about that. If you have a coach, like, chances are that they can tell what to look like from even the least important form video. And then maybe from the, like, I don't like the way I look thing, I think that, oh man, there's a lot to break down there. I don't know how what I'm going to say is going to come off. And so I will start by saying that I would like to explore my own thoughts here. And if we had more time here, we could do a little therapy and we could be curious about why this is a thought that came to mind to me. But from a, we care about how the way we look, maybe, or how we look, and maybe we care specifically in terms of like what the opposite sex or the people that we, you know, whatever, the people that we would like to appeal to, would think of us. And maybe that happens in an instant. And something I'll just say, not that this, I think, because I would be curious about why I came to this thought as well, because I actually don't think this is that important, but I actually like find both the pursuit, both somebody who cares about doing this correctly so they don't hurt themselves and cares about doing it well so that they can be time efficient, and the actual act of performing movements correctly, like, incredibly attractive. Like, I actually, like, I, that's like a weird, I'm like incredibly sexy to like do these, like, just to care enough about doing this right so you're not wasting your time. That to me, I'm attracted to the willingness, the pursuit of efficiency is attractive to me. Again, who gives a shit about this? I'm just like being totally like, no, like word vomit here. But like, I find that to be like nothing more attractive than like a well done technique or something like that, where I don't know what you look like doing it. Like, I wish we could take a little bit more pride in like how we're doing stuff and like take pride in our pursuit of wanting to not waste our own time and do this well, and to the pursuit of competency in this space, where it's like, I want to make sure I'm doing this well because I derive good confidence from that. I mean, you'd be surprised how much better you'd feel about your own self-efficacy in the gym with three back and forths with a coach with form videos, and all of a sudden like it clicking. Like, there's nothing, I'm sure you might be like, well, if I looked better, I'd be more confident. I think it's underrated how much more confident you'd be in the gym if you were like, felt like you knew what you were doing. You're like, I am a person who is doing this correctly. And not only just because I'm doing correctly, but I've earned that by working on my technique over time. It's not something that I just walked in the gym and did it perfectly. So I would explore some of my own thoughts about that, but that is what I was thinking.
Okay. Wow. That I have like so many thoughts. I don't even know which way to go with it, but I completely agree. I'm going to start backwards. So I completely, you're talking about that confidence, right? Like if insecurity or feeling like an imposter is the opposite of confidence, then, and confidence is sort of, is having your own butt, having your own back. What does that really mean? It's like being connected to your sense of self, to your body, being present in the moment, which are all things that create an emotional sense of confidence and also help you lift a lot better when you're not like spinning out in mental drama over what you look like or how you're being perceived. You started out by talking about, you know, finding a gym space that feels safe. And I love that you use that word specifically, because when we're feeling anxious, we're going to be so much more prone to worrying and obsessing about what other people think, feeling really nervous, feeling disconnected. And we can add a bunch of negative thoughts to that and really like spin ourselves out, sabotage our motivation, make things, you know, blown out of proportion, right? That's sort of, it's really easy. And I think we all kind of know that feeling, right? So finding a place where you feel relatively safe. And then this idea of, you know, like this is always the example I go back to. When I say to you, like, don't think of a yellow school bus, what do you just think about? Right. And so when people are like, oh, I'm worried about what other people think. And so people say, well, don't worry about what other people think. Oh, okay. How? Right. Like the focus is still on what other people think. So the opposite of that is, what do you think? And you said, like, you know, respecting your effort enough to, and yourself, and wanting the results and wanting to do it correctly, wanting to build your competency, caring about all of that, AKA caring about what you think more than what other people think. It's not that that concern is not going to be there, but that you care about what you want and respect your own efforts and your own goals enough to make that ratio. Even if it's 51-49, you're like, I've got my own back on this. Like I want to be open and curious about, I mean, 90% of the videos I take in the gym, I delete the same day because I'm just looking at them to make sure that, like, you know, my shins are in the right place for hip thrusts, or, you know, my form and all of those kinds of things. And I sent you enough that you even had like a few things to tease me about. About how we take like 5 steps back from the squat rack when I back squat. I don't know. I like my space. But anyways, there's
space.
Right. Exactly. You know, so I think you did a masterful job of breaking all of that down. And like, there's some really important things there about, you know, noticing how you feel, and also supporting yourself in that discomfort, right? Because you can feel two things at once. You can feel nervous that other people are watching you, and you can also care about how you're feeling in that moment and support and encourage yourself. Similarly, you know, I go up against just about any woman out there about hating pictures of themselves. Like let's talk about it. I've come from very dark places on that subject. So I understand not wanting to have those perceived flaws right in your face, but I assure you that if you take that same open curiosity, and that same willingness to support yourself into that subject, you will be surprised at what can shift for you, right? Like if you can't look at a picture of yourself because all you see are flaws, first of all, that's really good that you can even notice that. And second of all, have you ever considered that maybe the flaws aren't what you think they are, or that there's also compensating positives, and sometimes even about those exact flaws? And what is this idea that, like, just like, I can't do that if I feel any negative emotion. Like, so you can't feel good about yourself if you have flaws. This is what we are believing. Like, this is not a thing, right? So, and as you come to like move closer and closer to acceptance of and self-support about how you feel and what you look like and what you want, when you get to know yourself a little bit better, and again, curious rather than judgmental, you can come to an understanding of yourself that will create a motivation and a courage that you just have, you've never had before.
And I just have like a couple thoughts to like echo on both of you, and both of you also masterfully done, but it's like, it's so interesting, even in like a context of like pictures and videos in general, it's like, this is something that might be hard for you, but it's for something good, right? Like even family pictures, something hard for you to take, something good. You get memories with your family. And the same thing goes with filming form videos. It's like, you are literally doing something hard in this video, right? Like going to failure, things like that. I mean, I think you can apply that to a lot more than just the actual lifting of the weights. And there's this, I don't know why we have this belief that we also have to like everything that we see. Why do we believe that? Like, why do we believe that every video we take, I have to like everything that's happening in this picture or this video in order for it to be a worthwhile while video. And it's like, if you are in the process of getting closer to something that you want to achieve, that makes that video good, right? It's like, I love watching videos of myself failing lifts. I actually arguably enjoy it more than when I actually nail the lift, because there's always something to learn in it. And also I'm trying something harder than I did in the previous one. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I will film myself as I'm adding weight. And the failure videos are the one I spend more time on, because I know that there's potential for change and growth in that video more than there is in me like lifting something very easy, right? Where, well, I know the form is going to look really good here. I'm going to look super awesome 30 pounds ago on this lift. But when I add the 30 and things get really messy and really ugly and my face gets all contorted and I make stupid sounds or I fail it, that's where the potential for growth is. And so I'm not saying that you need to necessarily haze yourself with millions of videos of yourself, but also honor the fact that potentially the more you challenge yourself to look for the positive in these videos, like both of you are saying, you will find it. And a lot of times, naturally, we tend to look at the places that we don't like the most, right? So obviously, if I'm filming a video, I'm going to make sure that like my stomach is in check, right? But then in the meantime, you'll also notice all the things that you're maybe missing in the mirror. Like when you are doing this movement, oh my gosh, look at that line, or look at how strong my legs are, or look at whatever it is that you can find other things in that composite of yourself that you're not going to see while you're working or even walking by the mirror. And so if you want to see yourself in movement, it's also a way to practice appreciating what your body can do as you watch yourself progress. I mean, there's nothing more humbling than watching a video of yourself, like when you had 15s and they were hard for you, right? And all of a sudden you have a video with 45s and you're like, okay, so sure, I can pick apart my body, or I can also be like, look at how far I've come. Look what I'm lifting now. And it's almost like documenting your growth mindset progress too. And so
totally.
It's a lot more than just, you know, this I look bad in.
Totally. Well, and I love that example, because if you're attempting a lift that you might fail, it might also be your PR. But if you're not, I mean, you wouldn't get it on video unless you were open to either possibility. And I also love a family video analogy, because don't you also feel like some of the quirkiest, AKA like some of the flaws in your family pictures end up being your favorite picture? Like, I remember the one with Maddie where she was holding like a dirty old stuffed animal.
Bunny,
cat.
The bunny.
Yeah. The yes. Cat. And I yeah. was like, oh no, it's in our family picture. And now I'm like, it's my favorite one.
Oh, it's so endearing. Right.
The same thing with like our own perceived flaws or whatever. Like they're part of us. The less we hate them, the more accepting we'll be of ourselves.
Yeah.
We'll close it out. I think there's just such an opportunity for an improved feeling of competence and confidence with really like caring about how you're like paying respect to the way the movement's supposed to be done and trying to perform that. I think a lot of people are like, I want to look good. It's like, all right, there's a whole host of stuff there. But one thing that you can control and we can work on is like how well you're doing this. I get so excited when I like, I don't know this to be true, but my expectation or my assumption is that like one of the best things that I can tell somebody is like, when I say like, you look like you lift, that has nothing to do with the way you look. It has to do with the way you're carrying yourself and the way you're performing the lift and the way you're in it. And you're like gritting your teeth and going for it. And your technique has improved. And again, it's like comes back to like the way you look, but I'm not talking about externally the way you look. I'm talking about like the aura you're giving off, but also like you've worked hard on this movement and you've actually seen some changes in the way your technique is. And that to me is super like, I don't know, something you can derive a lot of confidence from. My guess is when I would say something like you look like you lift, to me that the definition of that to me would be more meaningful is like, hey, you look like you've been doing this and working on it and trying hard and, you know, paying respect to the way the movement's supposed to be done and just doing it competently. It has nothing to do with like what you look like. Yeah. And there's only one way you get there, by the way, which is working on your technique. And one of the best ways to do that is to take a form video. And so all roads lead to like, this is just like you said, Heidi, you was like, hey, even though you're going to have those feelings, like we just want to tip the scales into like 51%. You care what you think and you care about the pros more than the perceived cons. And if we can just get that to being like, yeah, all right, well, then I guess I'm going to do it in spite of the fear or in spite of those negative feelings.
Totally. Well, and if you are willing to like to risk that, to try the thing that you haven't tried, and even if it doesn't, no matter what happens, being willing to also pick out positives from it. You know, people talk a lot about like imposter syndrome, and I think feeling disconnected from yourself and not being able to harness any sort of like self-support or encouraging thoughts for yourself. Like you're bullying yourself in your own mind. Like that's not, you're not going to make progress in or outside, you know, in or out of the gym with that kind of mindset. And the first step is just, I think it's also kind of great that people are, were willing to answer those questions, even with their negative thoughts, because now you know that about yourself. Would you want to change it? Would it be worth changing it for some, for increased motivation, for increased self-acceptance, for increased results? Like, I mean, or, you know, the, you know, similarly, the more, you know, the more you don't push yourself, oftentimes the more rigid you can become with some of those negative self-beliefs.
Do you guys ever, I shouldn't have said anything, but do you guys ever like, every time, like, I'm like trying to, like, to me, this is one of those moments of like, what am I going to think in 30 years? I was like afraid of taking a form video. Like, all, for all I know, I could have been doing this wrong the whole time and I could have made better gains, or I could have hurt myself less, or I could have just like, kind of like zooming out a little bit. Whenever I have like anxiety about something, I like tend to like default to like zooming out and being like, this doesn't, in the scheme of life, what are we talking about? What does 90-year-old me think looking down at like the totality of my life? I'm giving this little thing so much power. Something I've been doing lately is like this like thought experiment of like that we are in a simulation. I know it's stupid, but like I do that and I'm like, I am probably some like seventh grade aliens like science project at a science fair, and I am the little Tamagotchi that he's controlling, and like it's just so meaningless in this. I don't want, it's like, it's quite nihilistic. It's quite like a nothing matters sort of mentality. But like I've been doing that lately where I'm like, you're in a simulation. Like, why are you like, none of this matters anyway. Taking a form video, who gives a shit? It's like one little thing. You're just like a little, some alien science project anyway. And like, this is all just like not real anyway. And like, I don't know, some of that like zooming out for me, I take it to that nth degree there, but like it helps me so much. There's also, if you guys do this, there's also a YouTube that is like a Google, it's called something, and it basically like starts with this girl laying in the grass. I have deja vu, like I've talked about this before. And
I don't think so. I'm so fascinated right now.
It starts with this girl, she's laying on the grass in like a park, and it zooms out just like slowly. And so it zooms out so you can see her whole body, and then you can see the whole park, and then you see the whole town, and then you see the whole state, and then you see the whole country, and then it zooms all the way out to like as far out as you could go. And I mean, like Milky Way, like
past the galaxy,
the galaxies, all the way out into the middle of nothingness. And then it zooms all the way in through her eye, all the way down to like the atom, like cellular, molecular level. And just for me, the zoom out thing is like, holy shit, you are nothing. And not in a positive way, like don't take it too seriously sort of thing. And then all the way into the molecular thing of like, we are just like some meat sack of atoms, like, and it's like, and it's so amazing that we even exist as a human, because we are just made up of these atoms. It's like the chance of you being a human is like 1 in 100 trillion, you know. And so it in both directions, it makes me feel quite small and just puts things in perspective a little bit. And I'll figure out what it's called in a bit, but I love it. I watch it. It's like a 2-minute video, and it always puts me at ease in that way.
And I love that. I mean, it's so much like what we like to say to a lot of our clients, and even on Instagram, it's like so many times we're in such selfie mode that we miss the panoramic, right? And it's just like, not everything is like right up close, this important, right? Like when you zoom out and you realize like what you're doing this for, like, what are you doing this for? Like, why do you want these things? It can change a lot of your perspective. And I think there's a bigger purpose to putting ourselves in positions that make us uncomfortable, like literally and figuratively, that there's always growth from, right? It's like a progressive overload of your emotional state and your thoughts and beliefs about yourself, in addition to actually lifting weights, right? And getting strong. Mm. So, I mean, it's why we love weightlifting for more reasons than just what it can give you aesthetically, right? It's like the benefits are like, I don't even think we can document all the benefits. Right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, along kind of similar along your lines, I have the thing I think about a lot is like you were talking about the safety or whatever. I think a lot about our nervous system and the different survival states that we go in, like fight, flight, fawn, freeze. I think if I had to really like 50,000 foot, what are my most common emotions? Anxiety, AKA flight, and overwhelm, AKA shutdown. Like those are two like really like defaults for me. And I think I spent a lot of time trying to think that I could think my way out of that, not realizing that my mind, being too much in my mind and my thoughts, is why I stay in those those states a lot, right? Like kind of like my mind saying to me, well, get some self-confidence, stupid, or like just make the freaking decision, as if either of those things help anxiety or overwhelm. And not that I really think that, but just it, to flippantly sum up the way your thoughts can exacerbate where you kind of are in your stress physiology. So I think about it like in terms of my, like you were talking about finding a safe space in the gym, right? Like when you're feeling anxiety, AKA you are scared, your body is feeling exposed to a threat. You're not going to solve that with your thoughts. That's about calming your body down, calming, like becoming connected back to your body through breathing, through some kind of self-regulation, which actually exercising in general, getting your heart rate up, can do amazing things for changing the level of arousal that you're in and regulating your brain chemistry. So that's one thing that like is going to automatically, if you're in the safe and connected space in your nervous system, your thoughts are automatically going to be more positive. You're going to have access to your emotions and your logic. When you're elevated, you only have you're in reactivity mode, right? So thinking that like, you know, staying too much in your minds and like, oh my gosh, what are they going to think? And oh my gosh, look how gross I am or whatever. Like those kinds of thoughts, realizing like, oh, I'm elevated. Like I need to calm myself down. I need to look around in my surroundings, like use my senses to ground myself and check in with my body about how I'm feeling and listen to what my body needs. Because that's, again, one of the amazing things that weightlifting especially and understanding your body and where it is in space can help you feel connected and safer, AKA confident, right? Like I think it's just interesting. The more we ignore how we feel, the more insecure we're going to feel. So I think a lot of that's kind of where that's my thought experiment these days, is like thinking about where is my nervous system in this escalating, you know, escalatable survival paradigm.
You guys were nervous that we wouldn't get through, or that we wouldn't have enough questions today. And I said, don't worry.
I know.
We're so don't worry. 40 minutes we'll spend on one of them. Don't worry. Don't worry. Also, the thing is called Cosmic Eye. So we're going to, you guys go watch it afterwards. While you were talking, Heidi, I'm not gonna lie, I had it up in the background. Me up all over again. Mad emotional right now.
Sorry. No, can I say one more cool thing about weightlifting too? It also, there's a part of your brain that can actually change over time through weightlifting that helps you realize that your emotional suffering will end. Because when you are in a triggered state, that part of your brain can shut down and it makes you think like, I'll feel this way forever. But the more weightlifting you do, the more yoga can also regulate that part of the brain. Isn't that cool?
That is so cool. Which means keep CrossFitting.
I know, right?
You know, total tangent. Well, while we're talking about like interesting things that we had never like, I guess, conceptualized, hard pivot here. I'd never heard the term reinforcer, and I'm going to bring it back to this in a second, but like, and we're going to bring it back to like the safe place here, like reinforcer. So a reinforcer is like references, like an example is first time you ever had alcohol. Nobody likes the taste because it's just factually, it doesn't taste good. It's a fact. And anybody who thinks they like the taste of alcohol is it's not a fallacy, but what's happening is you no longer are just talking about the taste of alcohol. Alcohol has become a reinforcer for other things like being tipsy, or the people that you drink with, or the places that you drink, the experiences you have when you drink. And they all actually neurologically are reflected in the taste. And another one is caffeine. That's kind of where I got this from. Some podcasts are talking about caffeine. Caffeine is a huge reinforcer. So like coffee. And so first time you have coffee, it doesn't taste very good. And then, you know, you can have a reinforcer where you like the effects of caffeine so much. You like who you're with, what you do when you're on caffeine, how you feel when you're on caffeine, the mug you drink caffeine out. They can all be reinforcers where like you would just like subconsciously prefer a different mug because that's the one you have coffee in. Or, you know, it becomes this thing where when you taste caffeine, you taste those experiences, and it no longer is like when you smell coffee. Like I am somebody who tasted coffee. It was disgusting. I didn't drink coffee for a long time. Now, like if I buy candles, they're only coffee candles. Like it's my favorite smell in the entire world. But that's
so good.
But that's confounded by the way coffee makes me feel and the things I've done when I have coffee and the people I'm with. And I think sometimes I'm going to just, I did not intend to kind of like circle this back around, but I think that having a gym where you have good experiences, maybe, you know, CrossFit does this amazingly well with the, with community. And so like, I have a client who's like obsessed with hypertrophy these days, but like can't give up her CrossFit gym just because she like likes going in to say hi to her friends and stuff, like over some context of like a family community vibe. And I think that like the suffering and stuff that can come from weight training, like you can have a reinforcer of like, I like being here and I like the people here, and I like the vibe here and I feel safe here. And it could, that can affect how much you enjoy actually weight training and how consistent you are over the long term. And you're like, oh, I like training. But what you mean when you say I like training is like, I like all the things that come with training, the people that I know, the experiences, like when I'm at the gym, the high fives, the looks, the people watching, whatever it is. And it all comes into one thing. So I do think finding like a space that you enjoy. Some people I can just like, I love lifting. That's it. But even like the endorphin rush you get when you do certain types of training, people are like, oh, I love running. No, you don't. Like you like neurologically kind of what happens to you when you start running, or same thing with training. You're like, oh, I like the pump. I like the way I look for the short period of time, or I just like neurologically what's happening to my brain when I train. And I just found that idea of a reinforcer like fascinating, because it's like you're just like your perception of whether you like something or not is probably goes a bit deeper than you think into like a more holistic viewpoint of that thing. And I thought the caffeine one was particularly interesting, because like we love the way caffeine makes us feel, but like, do I actually love the taste of coffee, or am I like loving the experience? You know, a lot of people talk about the experience, and anyway, thought that was interesting.
I think that's so cool. I mean, because really we're so many of our opinions and are conditioned, and that's actually a variable that you can what's a nicer word for manipulate? things like how to make your goals feel good. Like what are little nuances like that can change? I mean, we've been talking about how we're both kind of in like a cooking rut, and the other day I was like, I was just in an ADHD frenzy. I like tore apart my cookbook and ordered a new binder and printed everything out all new in color and like organized it differently. And all of a sudden, guess who's really interested in like cooking?
Well, that's what they say. Like get yourself some shoes, get yourself some workout clothes, like find something a little bit different, even if it is something just to get you excited again about something. You know, and someone asked a question, so we can say that we did too. Like, what do you think about Orange Theory Fitness as your main fitness? It's like, if you enjoy it and it sparks your interest in exercise, then by all means do it. And that goes for every single like fitness modality too. And I think, you know, we joke a lot that like, once you touch your barbell, your life will be changed. But I will say that is probably one of those reinforcers for me, like, and why I love CrossFit so much. I mean, not that I can't do hypertrophy based movements with a barbell, but there really is something about moving a heavy barbell that really reinforces like fitness to me. Like I actually can genuinely say that I miss barbell. Like it's something that like, whenever I pick one up and like unsheath it out of like the holder, I literally get excited every time I do it. Even if I'm dreading the movement coming, it's like there's something about it. And I think to your point about the mug, it's like, how many things do we not give ourselves credit for in creating a habit and a lifestyle that we love? So it would only make sense that when you are trying to get rid of everything that you enjoy, why you would think it would suck, right? So it's like the same thing with like your diet. If you're taking out everything that brings you coffee, caffeine, gym, dopamine, enjoyment, and all your reinforcers about how beautiful and wonderful your life is, no wonder why you hate what you're doing.
Yeah.
So stop doing
it. Oh, seriously. And even if you have to, this is where I started. Even if you started a place of like, how do I make this suck less, and kind of gradually move all the way over to like, I actually really love this, you know, that like you and I will never go to a regular gym. Where is DTFA for life? Cause that is a super safe space for me. And I don't care what I have to jimmy rig to stay there like that. That is, I feel energized. I feel happy. Like
feel seen. Yeah. There are people, and it's like, it's where you belong. And I think the reinforcing is, I love that you brought that up. It's a brilliant, I mean, even now, like Heidi and I used to be insane Diet Coke addicts because of the caffeine. Right. And also because it was like zero calories. And now every now and again, I'll have a Diet Coke and I'm like, why was I so obsessed with this drink? It's so meh, or what the kids say, it's so mid. Right. So mid. It's so mid.
You're being sus.
I mean, it's super sus, right? It's an L. It's not a W. I just bring out all the lingo. But it's true. Like when I have a Diet Coke down, every now and again, it's fine. Like, especially if you're having Mexican food, you got to have soda or something. But like, I used to drink that stuff like 4 or 5 times a day. And I think it was literally like, that kind of idea. But now when you walk away from it, you're like, but I like Celsius now, which is spice the caffeine. It's fine.
Did you just circle back around something I think is important to highlight for the listener? Did you say unsheath?
Yes.
Is this some King Arthur? Is this Excalibur? Are you good? Is this sword and stone sort of stuff?
The way our barbells are, they're stacked upright.
They're sheathed. And until you unsheath them, they are
sheathed. I mean, and at the same time, it's a super Game of Thrones looking setup. Like, you got to admit, like, all of our barbells are wrapped in one huge center. So they literally look like pillars of like magical energy and power. And you have to pull it up to like get it out of the holster. And it feels like you're literally
sort of the stone.
It is kind of sort of the stone. I am a child of, you know, the 80s and 90s, King Arthur.
Yeah, totally.
And those squirrels.
Yeah. You know what I'm thinking of when I think of like sword and sheath? You know that meme that's like when it's like when somebody asks you if your diet is going well and it's the guy pulling the sword out and it says yes on the sword. And then the next part of the meme, he pulls the sword out more. It says, yesterday I ate a whole pizza or something like that. Oh, shit.
The meme game, by the way, if we're just going to go there, is super strong on the horse is strong with you.
So. Dude, for real.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Thanks. This is the only thing. I'm hanging on by a thread on social media. Memes are just the only thing that keep me going. It's just like, I'm like, instead of like thinking about like stuff I'm passionate about, I'm like, what can I meme about? It's like my new like source of inspiration.
Not going to lie. The things that make me laugh are the things that keep me connected. So keep on keeping on because that's really like people want to connect and relate. And if it's funny, it's instant, right?
Not to be like a total nerd again, but also laughing, physical touch, creativity, exercise. These are all great ways to regulate your nervous system, feel safe, connected. Thank you.
I got time for one more. Is there one worthy of our final question here?
I mean, you have another hour. That's awesome.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay. So let's just do this one real quick. Can you gain muscle while just practicing intuitive eating without macro counting? It depends.
It all depends. Yeah. It depends.
Intuitively eating a lot of protein and keeping your calories at a decent level?
It was build muscle. You said,
yes. Gain muscle.
What you said, if you are eating enough, if you were eating enough calories, eating enough protein, getting enough recovery, lifting intelligently in such a way that you are set up to gain muscle. Am I missing anything?
And if you are mindfully, intuitively doing that, then yes.
Yeah.
I think
most people don't though.
If you're, let's be totally clear, the two biggest contributors to muscle growth are total calories and training stimulus. And so if you're intuitively eating enough calories and training hard in a very binary yes or no, you will build muscle, period. Even if, unless you're eating no protein. Like if you're eating enough calories and you're training hard and you're eating even a remotely rough, decent, even close to, which we can quantify in a second, amount of protein, like protein's more permissive of muscle growth. It's less causative. It's like the training stimulus is what's causative. And then the next thing that's most important is having enough total energy for your body to be like, okay, we can spend some of this on building new muscle tissue. And then eating enough protein is like a way to do that a little bit better. If I had to choose somebody in a calorie deficit eating a load of protein and somebody in calorie maintenance eating much lower protein, I'd take the person calorie maintenance eating much lower protein any day of the week. Not even close. I mean, my orders of magnitude more. And so can you? Absolutely. If you're at maintenance calories, that'd be the most important thing to me. Training stimulus would be next important. Honestly, sleep would be next important before I would even remotely even consider your protein intake. It's like, unless you're a vegan who also hates protein, I don't think that I would even bring up the like, you should make sure you're eating enough protein because you're probably going to do that already. Like, you're probably going to eat enough protein. Like the protein requirements have recently just, in my opinion, like the both from how much of a consequential kind of vibe this is, explaining this terrible, but the way that we hang our hat on this like 1.6 gram per kg and we're like, oh my God, if you have less than that, which is like 0.77 grams per pound, you're going to shrivel up into a raisin. That's not really true anymore. It's very likely the case, at least in my opinion, based on the research or like a reanalysis of the research, protein requirements are probably quite a bit lower than that for maximal gain, like for like very high percentage of maximal gain. It's actually probably like in the 0.6 to 0.7 range, which like again, unless you're a vegan who hates protein, you're probably going to get there intuitively. It might be worth to like get a protein on your plate at least a couple times a day. But I think if you do that, yeah, intuitively, then I wouldn't worry about it.
So in summary, if you are eating in at least maintenance level calories, you can gain muscle. Their protein is less important when you're maintenance and above. It's more important when you're in a cut to preserve muscle.
But also the caveat is, do you even know what your maintenance calories are? Because in your mind, if you're thinking you eat a lot,
quote unquote,
you actually might not be. Yes. And then I do want to say something a little bit devil's advocate-y to the protein comment. But if you have never tracked macros before and you just eat kind of whatever, most people don't get even like 40 grams of protein in a day. Just saying that from
personal, yeah, that's fair.
From like a Weight Watchers perspective, especially when you have been in a history of like eating really low, most people think like, I had a chicken breast today. It's like, okay, so congratulations. You had 20 to 30 grams of protein for your whole day. Now, if you are adding protein every meal, your chances are definitely higher. Like, we're not saying you have to hit 150, like, you know, shooting from 70 to 100 is probably a really good range for that, especially if you're in a maintenance range in my mind. But a lot of people think that they eat a lot of protein and they don't.
Well, we have been conditioned like that. That's not the way we've been conditioned. Like, I mean, the amount of protein that you get on your plate.
2 ounces of a chicken breast, yeah, is like usually the standard serving at like whenever you go out anywhere. That's like you're barely starting to start your protein for the day, right? It's, yeah, like, I mean, so if you're having like 30 grams, like one protein shake a day, and you're not really getting any protein anywhere else throughout the day, I would argue that you're not having enough.
Yeah, total. I mean, listen, you need to eat enough protein. So it's like whether like, that's a,
well, that, yeah, is, I mean, to your point of like it not really mattering, it's like, but at the same time, we're under the assumption that people eat protein regularly. But as somebody before they counted macros, I didn't actually not.
But as long as your total calories,
yes,
is your maintenance, yes, and above. Yeah. I mean, this is some, don't think just because it's a simple question, we can't like, oh, we can't talk for a while about it. We can.
We can.
But the point is a good one though, because again, like, you know, if every decision you make feels like it could make or break your progress, you're that's a very stressful place to be. So it isn't, I like that we maybe over-explained, because that gives people some scaffolding from where this question fits inside the context of all this.
That's right? Good. That's some nice word, scaffolding. Sheesh. I'm stealing that. That's good.
Be fancy.
That's fancy. You got that from one of your fancy books, 100%.
Stick with Heidi. She'll open a whole
scaffolding.
New
I wasn't English major.
I wasn't trying to be a butt, but I was just thinking about how like
unsheathing and scaffolding. Saying we are.
I understand that my word is not nearly as cool as hers. It's fine. You don't have to shame me.
There's just quality
alien
content
that's running my simulation has an incredible,
unbelievable vocabulary. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, we can go one more. I have a call at 1:30. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Excellent.
All right. Let's see. Which one should we pull out of the hat?
Okay.
I feel like I have to redeem myself or I'm going to get kicked out of this group.
What are you talking about?
Okay. I don't actually like this. Big percentage fat is what she wrote. So like, let's just say higher body fat percentage than she probably thinks that she should have. I'm just going to go there because I feel like anyone's like, oh, I have 20% body fat. That's really high. And you're like, No,
it isn't. Yeah.
First cut while training to maintain muscles, or first train at your max and then go into a cut.
One more time. Run it back. What did you say?
High body fat percentage or perceived high body fat percentage. First, should I cut while I train to maintain my muscles, or first train at my max and build and then go into a cut?
Whoa. Where did you see that question?
Right there. My alien has a translator simulator.
Yeah, seriously. No question.
So how about that? Can I say?
What should you do? Those questions are always like, they're almost like the, is it okay if questions where I usually just put in some like random Harry Potter reference, some obscure Harry Potter reference, but these like, what should I do things like are like always going to have an element of like, I don't know. It depends on your values and like your life structure and what you want to do and the trade-offs and how you value those trade-offs. And so there's a huge element of here. Like if you're like ultimately have the goal of losing significant amounts of body fat, then at some point that involves a concise period of calorie deficit. Do you do that now? I don't know. You can do it if you want. You probably need to do that at some point. And in all likelihood, you're going to either build muscle during that period if you're new to training, or you're going to maintain it. I don't think that this like it's like a chicken or egg sort of thing where it's like, you probably are going to have a period of, like, I just think if you have a significant amount of body fat that you want to lose at some point, like, you just decide when you feel like doing that. Do you need to do that now, or do you want to, like, maintain for a bit and enjoy yourself and then go into the suck? Like, there's no physiological reasons, what I'm trying to say. There's no, like, hey, like, you should build muscle first, then cut, because that's, like, going to be better for... There's no physiological consideration here whatsoever. There are only practical what you want to do based on the time and the, how you view the trade-offs and when you want to embark on that sort of a journey, which is going to be a little less fun. And so no physiological considerations. It's completely and entirely up to you.
Yeah, I agreed.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd add is if you do have a higher body fat percentage and you're lifting and you're even new to it, it's actually a great place to see gains.
Yeah.
So higher body fat percentages are not always the worst thing in the world to have, especially if you're lifting, especially and in a cut is what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just say if you aren't already tracking, I would maybe just start there and see what that even is like for you, what that brings up for you, making sure you're eating enough. If you haven't started, like, I would definitely start just like kind of collecting data on yourself, maybe as you give yourself a little bit of time to decide which way you're going to go, but making sure your healthy habits are in order, you're drinking plenty of water, getting sleep, all that kind of stuff. Cause those are healthy habits that are going to set up either of those goals. And depending on how much of a burden of change that creates, like, that may be just what you focus on for a little while. I mean, all roads lead to Rome.
Yeah. And regardless of if you have a higher or lower body fat percentage, lifting is one of your best bets for just about everything.
That's the same advice I would give to somebody with a perceived low body fat percentage, that I've said the same thing. So agreed. That wasn't, thank you for saying that.
Was that question too easy? Should we go for another one for 5 hours?
Uno más.
Uno más. All right. We could either go for, I like this one. Let's end on this one. What's the key to real lasting change? I tracked, I lost, I lifted, I felt confident, and then I gained it all back after I stopped doing that.
Yeah, this is going to be a super duper long one. You guys go. I'll go after.
Okay. So
I'm a little bit in a shame spiral because I don't have cool words to go for.
Okay. I mean, this is it's another one that's a little bit hard to make. Knowing the specifics would help tailor the answer to this question, right? But I would be curious. I mean, you probably just burned out, which would be, that's what I'm guessing. So if you burnt out, then somewhere along the way, we dropped in self-care, we dropped in reinforcing the reinforcers that we talked about, maybe the obstacles, or the negative thoughts or emotions, kind of the percentage changed, right? Where it was, became, more, you know, you weren't getting the payoff or whatever. There's somewhere along the line, like, the ratio changed for you, or you had an influx of additional stressors that made your whole load of what you're trying to do and accomplish in your life too much for you. And so something had to give. So I think if you miss that feeling, if you want to get back to some of those habits, I would pick one. I would look at your life as objectively as you can, see what kind of space you have to address any one of these things. And like you were just saying, Jordan, like, pick whatever seems like the thing you want to focus on, that seems like maybe the easiest for you to focus on, something like that, and just get started. And be, if you can reinforce yourself and be proud of yourself for any little steps you take, instead of being like, oh, look how far I've fallen, or look how much I've backslid or whatever. Like, yeah, so do all of us. We all have peaks and valleys. So just allowing yourself to be where you're at instead of focusing on how you're not where you want to be. They did this psychological experiment on two groups of people where they just had them do a maze, like on a piece of paper. And the mouse was supposed to get to a piece of cheese for the other group. The mouse was running from an owl. And the group that was motivated by where they wanted to go, the mouse going to the cheese, was like something like 20 times more successful than the other group, even in a very superficial example, like doing a maze on a piece of paper. So if you can give yourself some space to feel good about your goals, to accept where you are, even if you don't super love it, like, yeah, it's a bummer that I let all that go, but here I am. And motivate yourself by where you want to go. That's going to be, make you so much more successful than being, because you have a specific vision versus this other group where they're motivated by fear and they don't really know where they want to go. They just know they don't want to be here anymore. And that way you're just sort of blindly, you know, reacting, and there's going to be a lot of self-sabotage and shame in that space. Right. So just being your own self-support, having your own back on taking these small actionable steps, I think is going to be the key to lasting change. People, getting your goals doesn't make you happy. The process makes you happy. So the process needs to feel good or we're all going to quit.
I'm going to say something for 2 seconds, then Jordan, finish us off before you have to go. But I think what's interesting, I actually think it's a really beautiful question. It's like, what is the key to real lasting change? I think the question lies in what is real lasting change to you? Like, what does that actually look like to you? Because I mean, what's real change versus fake change, right? Or what's lasting versus like, you know, short term? It's like, how long are we talking? What kind of changes are we looking for? What proves that you've made that point? When do you feel like that would be like a place where you're done or like, I don't have to evolve anymore? And it's interesting because I think the three of us, you asked us like, what do you consider real lasting change? I would say for myself, it's like, it never happens. Because everything's an evolution off something else that just happened before, right? Like maybe what I thought 5 years ago would have been like my I've made it place is not the place that I would say that it is now. In fact, early I would look back and be like, that was a very narrow place that you believed in, right? Or like, that's what you felt. And then sometimes it actually erupts and turns into another iteration of yourself. But I think when we think about, you know, the difference between like, is it a breakdown or a breakthrough? And a lot of times those two go hand in hand. And that's where the change happens that creates like this, you know, composition of your life. And like, that's really what's the coolest part about it is that I don't know that there is a key to real lasting change. It's more about being open to seeing where you go.
Yes. I love that. Like that the evolution, the process of evolution is the change you seek, young grasshopper.
I think once you unsheath the sword out of the rock that your life has changed forever. No. I think the thoughts to me, like I've been on podcasts. I have people who have brought me on the podcast because of this that I've said, that I've said that like that it's all right to do things, something to this effect. Like, I just know that people are like, oh, this was a edgy post. Like, come talk about it. And it's like something to the effect of like, you know, stop trying to make your deficit life your best life, or stop thinking that it would be, or stop trying to live your 1500 calorie or your 2000 calorie lifestyle on 1500 calories. Essentially this idea that like, it's okay to accept that your life will be different in the deficit. Like, there's this idea that it is going to be different. Right. And almost, I think I've seen people take it far enough to say like, it's okay to do things in your deficit that you know you won't do forever for the pursuit of fat loss. Now, inherently that is true. Technically that is true. Technically you could do things to lose fat. You could go keto, lose a bunch of weight and transition to a balanced diet, and physiologically, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. But I'm doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on this. Like, the things that we're doing must be things you could even conceivably think you're going to do forever. And that doesn't mean you don't change course. It's like, oh, I'm going to pick these habits and I could do them forever because I know that to be a fact. But I'm just so over anything that doesn't feel sustainable. I'm just like, I need it to be something you enjoy. I need it to be an amount of times in the gym that you can reasonably do. I don't want resentment built because you're spending less time with your kids than you want, or resentment built towards like, you think that you're letting me down because you skipped one of the gym days to go to your kid's soccer game or something. Like, I'm just so over anything that is not seen as something I can do for the long term. The key to long lasting health related changes is long lasting behavior changes. And there is nothing else other than getting to know yourself and your values, asking yourself what sort of things are important and what sort of life you want to live, adopting a flexible mindset, knowing that there will be speed bumps, and connecting with the idea that this is forever. And I'm sick of the, well, I'm going to do this, but I'm just going to do it for a while I lose weight. I'm not saying that can't work. I'm just like, I'm kind of over like giving that a shot. Because I think that there's a downside to that, a ton of the situation of this person maybe who's asking this question, who's like, I've done a ton of shit that I never even actually really thought to myself, could I do this forever? I'm doing it because somebody else did it and they said that this worked, or I saw it work for somebody else, or like, how about you sit down and think about what you value? What sort of lifestyle do you want to live? What things do you not want to give up? What are like those non-negotiables for you? How might those run counter to the other health-related goals? I can't give up my XYZ habit. And just start to look at like, what are things I can implement today? Small things, most of the time, small things that I could really see myself doing forever. That the kind of person who wants what I would want, that person does these things all the time. I cringe at the thought that I would once say that, because I just am so in this place of it. You must be connecting with that. This is forever. No more timeline for me. No more. It's got to be done by this date. Like, yeah, there are things that we can say. Oh, I got a vacation here. Maybe I take a break, or I'm going to summer. Maybe I take a break. Fine. But no like big emotional weight hanging on a date. This is forever, man. Like, we're just doing this forever. And if you're like, I have a lot of clients who like didn't lose weight for the last 6 weeks of the year, but we're in an amazing mindset of like, yeah, I'm not in this crazy huge rush. This isn't the best time right now. I'm going to enjoy myself. It's part of my happiest life. You know, I'm doing habits that are going to stick with me forever. Anyway, I'll stop monologuing, but this like connecting with the idea that this is forever is so important. I'm over the like, well, I'll just do this challenge for these 8 weeks, or I'll just cut out sugar for this 8 weeks. And I know we were kind of all against that anyway, but even like people who are like, well, how do I, you hear this one all the time. I've been doing all this cardio, and how do I transition to maintenance while doing not this cardio? And I'm like, I probably would have adopted a strategy during the fat loss phase where you didn't have to do an amount of cardio that you knew you wouldn't be able to sustain for the long term. To me, there's like, physiologically, there's no reason you couldn't taper it down and maintain, but like, this seems like psychologically going to be difficult for you to manage dropping that and then accepting that that affects other things. And I don't know. To me, I'm just over the like, we have to at least think that I could do this forever reasonably.
Maybe long lasting change comes down to the fact that you don't actually believe that you always have to be changing, right? Instead of evolving, right? I mean, it's like, if you look at it, like, I love what you said from like a timeline perspective, like of a, this is my life now. Like, if I want to be someone who is an active person, that is what I am planning to do forever. I'm just going to be an active person. It's not going to have to look a specific way, but I'm going to be an active person versus someone who is trying to constantly lose weight until I'm 90 years old. Because if you want to be that person, then you will be that person.
Totally. Like the things that you like, it's not the lack of perceived flaws that's going to make you happy. It's accepting yourself. No, there's no thing out there that is like, you know, we've said it before, like 155, I hate myself. 154, I hate myself. 153, I hate 152, 151, 150, I love myself, or whatever. It's like, that is not a thing. And I think the more we can, these are standards and things that you would never put on somebody else that you care about. You think you can't be happy because of this extra weight or because you haven't achieved this goal. That is actually the thing. Like, there is no there where all of this negative emotion about yourself and where you think you should be ends. That's another thing that you can feel two things at once. You can be frustrated with where you are and also work towards accepting where you are. This idea that like, I'll force myself to do these things and then I'll feel better when I get there at the end of 8 weeks or whatever. That is not a thing. It is. I love that idea of, you know, reminds me of the zoom out you were talking about in the very beginning of just like, this is a lifelong pursuit, a quality of life issue, and connecting to yourself and what you really want is what it's all about.
Yeah. Go cosmic eye yourself.
Dude, for real.
All right, JL. See you next week.
See you next week, guys. Thanks for listening. See you guys next week.
Whew, you made it. The butter dish didn't melt your face.
Thanks so much for hanging with us. If you enjoyed that episode, we'd love it if you would subscribe, share it to your social media, or leave a comment. That all really helps, so the kids say. If you want to find us, you can find us at Instagram at ButterYourMacros.
On the web at ButterYourMacros.com.
Twitter and TikTok at What's Up Butters. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks.